If you've ever been a victim of a crime, you may have very strong thoughts on the criminal justice system. Current State's Brooke Allen says that a recent nationwide survey about those attitudes surprised a lot of people. Who did this survey, Brooke?
Well, Mark, the survey was conducted by the Alliance for Safety and Justice, and it discovered two things. One, victims of crime are often wondering where to turn for help in their recovery efforts, whether it be the need to relocate or therapy. And the survey also discovered that despite the popular assumption that victims want long prison sentences, Lenore Anderson, the president of the Alliance for Safety and Justice, says the study revealed quite the opposite.
We found that the majority of crime victims prefer a criminal justice system that focuses on rehabilitation over punishment by a 2-to-1 margin. We also found that 61% of crime victims prefer shorter prison sentences and more spending on prevention over long prison sentences. So this is, you know, pretty different than what many people would think about who crime victims are and what they want to see.
Of course, because we've all heard the phrase, lock them up and throw away the key, so that's not actually true.
No, in fact, by a margin of nearly 3-to-1, most crime victims believe that time in prison makes people more likely to commit another crime rather than less likely. And it's important to point out that these are views that hold true across demographic groups. Wide support for rehabilitation over punishment from victims of all walks of life. Pretty much across the board, what we hear is that the vast majority of victims prefer investments into things like education, mental health treatment, crime prevention, over and above long prison sentences and more prison building.
So, Lenore, let me ask you this. Were these victims of nonviolent crimes or violent crimes, or was it a mix?
You know, this was what was even more powerful, was that support for reform and a new approach to safety is strong even among victims of violent crimes. We surveyed a diverse cross-section of crime victims, both those who had experienced things like property crime all the way to people who had been victims of assault themselves and or lost a family member to violence. And regardless of the type of crime that people experienced, majority support this new approach to safety and justice that puts more emphasis on rehabilitation over punishment.
Okay, so we do hear time and again that the criminal justice system lacking on many levels, one for the inmates who, of course, are suffering sometimes or most oftentimes, it seems, from maybe mental health issues and addiction. What about the victims of the crimes? Who's actually responsible to see that victims of crimes get the help that they need?
You know, and it's a great question, because the other kind of groundbreaking information that we found in this study, in addition to the fact that most crime victims want a new direction in criminal justice policy, we also found that most crime victims don't actually get help to recover from the incident of crime that they experienced and to get back on their feet. And this should really be a wake-up call for our criminal justice system. The majority of crime victims are not able to access basic things like relocation assistance or economic recovery assistance, trauma recovery help, mental health counseling, anything like that. And what that means is if you experience crime and violence, that ongoing trauma can have very, very long-term impacts on your life. And so, you know, the results of this survey in many ways kind of point to a bit of a blueprint about where we could go with criminal justice reform. You know, in addition to reducing over-incarceration and putting that money into crime prevention and rehabilitation, we also need to do a lot more to reach out to vulnerable victims and get them the help they need to get on their feet.
What was the overriding need that victims say that they have?
Economic recovery assistance. The financial impact of crime and violence on individual victims is very serious. Many states have victim services that provide compensation, but too few victims are able to access that. And there needs to be a real concerted effort to make sure that we're getting the available help to our vulnerable community members. And, you know, I think that that's one of the big lessons that we learned. The other thing, I just going back to the sort of overall picture here of a gap between where the public safety policies are and where victims want them to be. You know, one of the reasons that this is so important right now is because, you know, Michigan, as well as the entire country, is in the midst of a conversation around rethinking criminal justice policy. You know, this is a country where for far too long, lawmakers have been pressured to be very careful about criminal justice reform. You know, the notion that prison building and tough sentences is popular with the public has really been driving criminal justice policy for literally decades. This survey kind of wipes out those misperceptions. Not only about where the general public may be, but importantly about where victims are. And so, you know, in this moment of, you know, attention, you know, lawmakers of all stripes are rethinking their prison budgets, looking for ways to dial back on this kind of mass incarceration that's erupted across the country. And in this moment of rethinking, there's really never been a more important time to ask the question, who are crime victims and what do they want to see? And, you know, what we found is that there's a gap, and what they actually want to see is smart justice.
And Michigan is one of the ASJ's key focus states. So where did you see Michigan fall on the nationwide scale of prison population and even helping its victims of crime?
So Michigan is a really important state on this issue. Michigan has the ninth largest prison population in the United States. The population has grown quite a bit. Michigan incarcerates nearly three times as many people today than it did back in 1980. And that increase in incarceration in Michigan has been coupled with a significant increase in prison spending. So, you know, correction spending in Michigan grew by more than 200% from 1985 to 2014. And you can compare that, you know, when you look at the a public budget, right, the budget of the state, that's a pie where if one part of the pie grows, another part of the pie is getting cut. And what we see in Michigan is that over 200% increase in prison spending was coupled with spending on a decline in education spending by nearly 50% over that same time. And this is a critical red flag for how we're thinking about safety in our community.
And the Alliance is partnering with Citizens Alliance on prisons and public spending in Michigan. So what impact do you think this combination could possibly have on Michigan's criminal justice system?
We think that there's a lot of opportunity for justice reform in Michigan. It's been a state that has shown forward-thinking leadership in a variety of areas, and there's a big opportunity around parole reform in Michigan, and there's also a real big opportunity to start investing in trauma recovery services for victims at the local level. That combination of shortening the prison sentences so that we can save state money, and then taking that money and looking for ways to get it out to crime victims and those most in need of trauma recovery help, that's the kind of combination that could really put Michigan at the forefront of the nation in terms of smart justice.
Thanks, Lenore. And now we're going to turn our attention to James McCurtis, who is the director of the Crime Victim Services Programs throughout Michigan. You kind of heard Lenore mention that the victims of crime, the one thing that they need is kind of help in knowing where to turn. So can you help us point us in the right direction?
Sure. A lot of times when a person is a victim of a crime, the first person that they come into contact with is a police officer, and police officers direct them to what we call victim advocates. Victim advocates are located in the prosecutor attorney's offices. So depending on what county you're in, a lot of times you will be guided to a victim advocate in the prosecuting attorney's office.
So that would be your pretty much your first step of getting help.
Absolutely. And if a police officer doesn't, you know, point you in that direction, then it's important for a victim to contact their prosecuting attorney's office so they can get in touch with a victim advocate. And then when they sit down with a victim advocate, and that's exactly what they are advocating for that victim. They are to lay out all the various resources that are available to that person to help them with their recovery from this, from whatever particular crime that they have endured. And victim advocates are, you know, paid for through a grant from our office. So they will point victims to our office to help them get compensation benefits. They will point them to different nonprofit organizations that can help them with housing if needed, or some type of a counseling service that's needed, medical services. So there's a whole array of resources that are available to victims, and a lot of times victim advocates help them through that process.
And what about helping them through the court system? I know the court system can be very difficult and hard to navigate your way through if you're not familiar with it, and it can be overwhelming. Is there anyone to help them kind of get through that if they have to go to court for any reason?
Absolutely, Brooke, and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's the primary task of a victim advocate, and that's why they're located in the prosecuting attorney's office. Victim advocates, not only do they help victims with resources for all those various things I talked about earlier, but they also help them navigate through the court system. So they will walk them through the process. Walk them through the process to a point where they break it down so that the victim understands exactly what is going on, and that the victim understands what his or her rights are at that time.
So if anyone was out there and they had just been victimized, so to speak, and really didn't know where to turn, and say the crime had already happened, maybe a few weeks ago, maybe even a month or so ago, is there a statute on this of when they could actually get help?
If there's a person who's been victimized and it's been and the crime has happened, you know, a while ago, they can still file for compensation benefits with us and with our office here in the Department of Health and Human Services. You know, you have a year to apply for compensation benefits. But that could be waived if there is a just reason why you couldn't, you know, apply for those benefits beforehand. And again, I recommend that they call our office, and also still get in contact with the victim advocate in their county, in their county prosecutor, in their prosecuting attorney's office, so that way they can work with us in terms of applying for compensation benefits, and work with advocates to help them, work with an advocate to help them get other resources that are available to that victim.
And what about the victim advocate? Are they confidential? I know some people might be kind of worried about that, as far as, you know, there might be some confidentiality.
Sure.
Issues.
Oh, yes. If there's a confidentiality issue, if there's a matter where a person wants to keep certain things confidential, they can work with that advocate in doing that. I mean, there's HIPAA laws that are out there that protect victims, especially when it comes to their medical needs. If there's a person who's a victim of sexual assault or domestic violence, that victim advocate can work with them and talk with them about the things that are that can be kept confidential. A lot of times, if you are working with a prosecuting attorney's office and they want to prosecute, then that victim advocate can go, again, can talk about the rights that that victim has when it comes to being confidential.
Is it an 800 number that people could call?
Absolutely. For our office, they can call, there are two numbers. You can call the local number, which is 517-373-7373. And there's a toll-free number for victims to call, 1-877-251-7373. And again, that's for our office, and we will help guide that person to which advocate they should speak with if they're not sure. But if they are familiar with their county and the county prosecutor's office, I suggest that they call their office as well to get even more resources.
Okay, thank you so much again. I'm speaking with James McCurtis, Director of the Crime Victim Service Program throughout Michigan. And thank you so much, James, for joining us and telling us how victims of crime can get help.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity, because we really want people to call these numbers and get in contact with their advocate, get in contact with us if they are a victim of a crime, so that we can give them the help that they deserve to survive any type of crime that they endured.
For Current State, I'm Brooke Allen.